Good to be with you this weekend. I do beg a continued interest in your prayers, what time I would stand before you, if the Lord would bless and He would fill me and Brother Ronald with His Spirit, that His name would be glorified, and if it be His will, that we would be edified tonight. My mind has been going back and forth between two different sets of verses all weekend, but I pray that it is of the Lord that I've settled on the verses that I have on my mind, and I feel that some of the things that have already been brought to our attention this weekend, these will just go right along with it. If you have your Bibles and want to follow along, it's 1 Peter chapter 3. There's three verses there that are very, very dear to me for many reasons. I won't go into all of that right now, but it's just 1 Peter chapter 3, we'll start in verse 13. It says, "Who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither ye be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." The Apostle Peter here, in writing these letters to the Lord's people in his day and by inspiration of God, he knew about going through some troubles. He knew about things that he and all the apostles had been through, and was reminding those that would be reading these letters that there's going to be troubles. And you know, brothers and sisters, we can reading these same scriptures here today in 2019, this is just as true for us today as it was the day the Apostle Peter penned these things down. We're going to go through troubles. We're going to go through trials and tribulations. Jesus even told us that in this life ye shall have tribulations. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Our cheer is not in the things of this world. The world is going to give us tribulations. It's going to give us problems. It's going to wear us down, beat us down. It's going to do everything it can to tear us down. But our cheer, what we need to be looking to, is the one that has overcome the world, and that's Jesus Christ. And that's what Peter is reminding us here. He says, "And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good?" Who is it that will harm you for what we are doing tonight? If you think about that, and a lot of people say, well, you know, the Lord's not happy with me. I think the Lord is very pleased that we've come out to, you know, this weekend on a Thursday night, all day on Friday, going to be here tomorrow morning to worship Him and give Him all glory and praise. You know, that's something that's pleasing to the God, that we're not here thumbing our lapels saying, look at what we have done. We're here saying, look at what the Lord has blessed us with. Speaking with a young man this week at work, he's always asking me, you know, where are you going this weekend? He knows I travel a lot for church. Sometimes I tell him I'm going, you know, kind of close to home. It'll just be 2 or 3 hours down south Mississippi. Or sometimes I feel like I'm going 8 hours over to Georgia. You know, he's curious. He wants to know more about what we believe. He's of another order. And you know, he said, "Now you're going to go over there and going to be there Thursday night." I said, "Yep." And I started just kind of going through the routine, you know, Thursday night, how the services will normally go, and then Friday, and then Saturday, and then I said, "We'll come home." And I said, "You know, those churches in that area, they'll continue to have services, you know, Sunday night. Maybe some of you may have him on Saturday night." He just kind of, whew. He said, "You're going to give me a break." He said, "I can't do all that." I said, "Well, brother, we're there to worship the Lord because of what He's done for us. Not because of what we can do for Him, but what He has already done for us and what He is going to do for us through those promises that we stand on." Amen. And that's what Peter is saying. There's going to be trouble for what you are doing right here tonight. There's many in this world, there's many in this country who would love to stop us from doing what we're doing right now. Peter dealt with them back in his day. And he says that, "Who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But if you suffer for righteousness' sake." Peter's saying, "But it is." He said, "It's going to happen." You know, I'm thankful that right now in this country that we still have, you know, religious freedoms, that we can come out and worship the Lord in the way that we feel that the Scriptures teaches us. We're not bound by law, by the government or some group to say you have to worship in a certain way. I'm very thankful for that. Peter didn't always have that freedom. He went out and he worshiped the Lord in the way that he knew that Jesus Christ had revealed to him and the way that the Scriptures taught. But he suffered greatly for that. Him and those apostles, when they went out just to preach the Word of God, doing exactly what they were called to do, they suffered great tribulation. He said, but if. I've been there, brother. That's what Peter's telling us. He said, I know exactly what you're going to go through, brothers and sisters. He said, but keep on keeping on. That's what he's teaching us here. Just to look back just a little bit at what Peter and John and some of the apostles went through. He says, but an if. You go through these things. He says, but and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you, and be not afraid of their terror, neither you be troubled. He said, don't be troubled in what they'll do to you. He said, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. He's telling us how that we are to be of good cheer is when we sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. When we put the Lord in the proper place, in the proper perspective that He should be put in. You know, there's some sanctifications that are talked about in the Bible that is of the Lord. You know, I cannot do anything. There's nothing that we can do to sanctify ourselves, you know, to get to be a child of God. You know, that sanctification needs to be set apart. There's some setting apart that is only by the power of God. There's only by the grace of God. We've heard about it this weekend already, about when He calls us out of darkness, you know, and gives us a new heart, changes that hard and stony heart. When He saw us polluted in our own blood, and He walked by and He said, live, and we live. That sanctification, that setting apart, is only by the power of God. He's the only one that can do that. I can't do that. Brother Ronald can't. You know, Brother Philip, Brother James, none of us can do those things. But we can tell you about the one that has done that. And He's going to do that to every one of His children. Everyone that He died on the cross, somewhere between conception and death. That will happen to every one, not minus one, every single one that He died for, that great multitude. Peter says to sanctify. He said there's some sanctifying now that we must do. Matter of fact, we can back up just a couple of verse chapters there, even in the book of 1 Peter. And 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, it says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. Through sanctification, that sanctification that comes from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God the Father in choosing us, electing us, those that Jesus Christ would come and die for on that cross, giving us to Him, giving us to His Son. That all came from the Father. That setting apart, those that choose us. You know, that's how we set apart men or women, whether it be goes to our to the here, I guess it goes to wherever your capital is. I don't know if it's Atlanta or what. I'm in the wrong state here. If we send people to Jackson, Mississippi, or whenever we set somebody apart to go to Washington, D.C., there's some choosing out. We got an election there in the state. We're choosing out some men. Going to be a new governor this year. We're going to elect them and choose them out. That's the same with the Lord. He chose out who He was going to give to His Son. He chose them out before the foundation of the world. You and I didn't have a say in that. He had all the choosing. And He gave us to His Son. And He came at that appointed time and died on that cross. He endured that cross for us. And brother and sister, I think about what that word there in Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews 12 and 2 says that He endured the cross. I mean, you know, it was when I was a younger man and a teenager and all, I used to think about Jesus going to the cross, and I always thought, well, He was God. He was like Superman. It didn't bother Him. Yes, it did, brothers and sisters. He felt those nails when they went into His hands. He felt that crown of thorns when it was beat down on His head. I always think back at home, Elder Sidney Shouse, when he first came to the church there, boarded his house, and he had a crown of thorns. It was just like sawbriars that he'd went out in the woods when he'd be out walking around and cutting them. He you know, sat there and made a crown of thorns and had it hanging up on the wall. And he said, you think about that being taken and put on your head and just beaten down by a rod or a staff. He endured that cross, even the death of the cross, for us to sanctify, to set us apart. And at that point in time, whenever the Lord spoke, whenever that Holy Spirit comes and speaks life into us, we're now sanctified. We're set apart. There should be something now that people could see. There's something different about that brother or sister. That doesn't always show up right at first. I know of some brothers that can give you a pretty pretty close time of when they feel like they were born again. They knew, you know, at one moment they were reveling in the things of this world, and the next minute they said, I'm down on my knees begging the Lord for mercy and forgiveness. I don't have that experience. The Apostle Paul had that. He could heal on that road to Damascus. He knew there was something different about him. All of those around could see him. He had those letters that was going out with authority to destroy the church. And he saw that light that was brighter than the noonday sun. The Lord struck him down. He was sanctified right then. He was set apart. His life would never, ever be the same as it was when he was Saul of Tarsus. Peter says there, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience. When we're set apart, brothers and sisters, when we're sanctified by God, now there's something that we need to do. Now there's some sanctifying that we need to do. I'm going to grab a couple of verses. One's over in the book of Psalms, just to get a little bit more, a better picture about this sanctifying by God. Psalms chapter 10 and verse 4, it says that the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. You know, that's a strange concept to a lot of people in the world. That before we have the Spirit of God in us, before our non-elect, or before we was even born again, it's all of Tarsus, God wasn't in all of our thoughts, not because of the pride of our account. Some say, well, the Apostle Paul was going out, you know, to persecute the church. He had God in his mind and everything. But what Paul had in his mind was to lift himself up, to do away with this thorn. He wasn't looking and saying that this is what, is pleasing to God. He thought that what he was doing was the will of God. But what he was going out to do was to destroy the church. It wasn't because of his love for Jesus Christ or for the church. It was for that own pride and for the Pharisees and their sense of being lifted up. This man's gonna come in and cause a lot of problems. It's a thorn in our side. That Roman army's gonna come in and take away our authority. They were looking at themselves. Their motives was on themselves and not on the love of God in the sense of loving his people. For what? The scriptures that they could read and study. Well, they had scriptures just like that we did. It was called the Old Testament. Everything that we have in this New Testament is things that are being revealed that has been hidden in the Old Testament. We need both of them, brothers and sisters. He says that the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. You know, a lot of people will tell you, brother, all you got to do is believe. All you got to do is to hear this gospel or say a prayer or whatever, and you can become a child of God. Brothers and sisters, if God is not in all my thoughts and my thoughts are not on, what does God think about this? How do I, if I'm living my life, is God pleased with it? That's not in their thoughts. You know, in Hebrews there 11 and 6, it says, for without faith it is impossible to please God. There's something that is impossible to do without the Spirit of God being in you. And that's to please Him. I may do something that I could look and see somebody do a good work, I think, but in their mind, it's a motive. It may be, well, I'm going to do this to get a favor owed to me. Their mind, their heart, God looks on that. He sees the inner man. He sees what the heart, not what I see. It's impossible. But with the Spirit of God, we can please Him. That Spirit's got to be there because that's where that faith comes from. Without the Spirit of God, Galatians chapter 5 verses 22, 23 tells about those ninefold fruit of the Spirit. Faith is one of them. Without already having the Spirit of God within us, we don't have faith. We don't have what it takes to please God. His Word says that's impossible. There's some things that are impossible no matter what people will tell you. Now let's get to that sanctification. I want to give Brother Ronald plenty of time. Once we are born again, once we have been sanctified by God unto obedience, now there's something that we can do. Some setting apart. You know, there's a lot of things that I have to set apart in my life because I enjoy a lot of the things of the world. It's football season. I know my team's not a very good team, but I still enjoy sometimes watching football. Every now and then they will push out a wind. You know, I enjoy hunting. It's getting hunting season at home. I've got a deer stand. I've got some places fixed up. I'm looking forward to when deer season gets back. But you know, those are things that I enjoy of the natural world. And you know, there's nothing wrong about going out and hunting or going to a ball game, except when we start putting that above our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When we start saying that's more important to us than what we're doing here right now. When we sanctify, when we set Him apart, that's saying, Lord, I know that because of Your grace and Your mercy, I am a child of God, and that yet by Your providential watch care over me that I, and Your blessings, that I have these temporal things, there's something more important to me, and that's worshiping You in spirit and in truth. That's the fellowship that I have with You, Lord. Yes, I love the fellowship. I need the fellowship of my brothers and sisters here in Georgia and Arkansas and Mississippi. But the one I need fellowship with the most important is with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's how I sanctify Him, is by showing that to how I walk, what I say, what I do. All of that shows forth when I am sanctifying Him. Peter kept writing about those troubles, those things, those tribulations. When you go over in the book of Acts in chapter 4 and 5, Peter starts talking about some things that him and John and some of the apostles went through, preaching the Word of God, doing exactly what they were called to do. They were going out and preaching the Word of God there in Acts chapter 4. And those of the Sadducees and saw that and heard this, and they didn't like that. I said this Jesus was the thorn in their side. They wanted this gone. They didn't want anybody to preach about Jesus Christ. And they took them, they started threatening them. And you think about that right now, if some of the authority here in Georgia finds out, okay, that Ebenezer Fellowship, it's over at Oak Grove Church. We got to stop them from doing that. What would you think if you were to walk out and there's about 5 squad cars sitting out there with the lights on saying, you cannot do what you're doing tonight. Don't come back here in the morning. If you do, there's going to be consequences with that. You know what Peter told them? In Acts chapter 4, verse 19 says, But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you, or more unto God, judge thee. They told the authority, which is better, which is more? Should we hearken unto God, or should we hearken unto a man's authority that says, don't do what you're doing? They knew what it was going to take to sanctify the Lord. Even going through some very hard things. Brothers and sisters, my prayer is that your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren will still have the blessings of being able to come out and openly worship the Lord, just as we're doing tonight. And I believe it's by the grace of God, for the little churches, by the prayers of the saints that are going up, that we're still able to do that right now in this country. There's many that are enjoying the blessings of being able to worship in the way that they see fit because of the blessings God has poured out on this country because of those who are worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. We've heard about this weekend when the apostles got in the ship with Jesus and were going to the other side, and the great wind come up, and they were afraid they were going to perish. And they went down and woke Him and said, God, do you not care that we, Jesus, do you care that we perish? He said, oh ye of little faith. And He went out and said, peace be still, and rebuked the wind. And all that sea was of a great calm. Every one of those little ships that the Scripture says there received that blessing of that great calm. They didn't know where it came from, but those that were in that ship with Him knew exactly where it was. And brothers and sisters, I believe that the Old Baptist Church, there's blessings that this country is receiving today because we are still sanctifying Him. We still are setting Him apart. And brothers and sisters, even if it, I think if it just gets down to one or two in a location, the Lord can still bless. In the last 10 or 15 years, I've heard of churches there and at home. I think there's even one maybe out in Arkansas. You may even have some here you could add. Get down to one or two, maybe 3 old sisters, and they still, every Sunday morning that they would meet, they'd come, open up the doors, sweep out the building, get the books out, and start singing the songs of Zion and praying. Praying unto God.
You know, those churches are still there. They're still small congregations, but they're still thriving. They're still serving the Lord. They're still worshiping God in spirit and in truth because He blessed them. He sent men to go down and preach the gospel. He sent brothers and sisters there that would to be saved, that would join that church and still be there today. I think I heard Brother Alec, I may be wrong on this. If I've got the number wrong, forgive me. 206 years, I believe, for this fellowship. That's because there's been some brothers and sisters sanctifying the Lord all those years, setting Him apart, no matter what the world would say. He's been blessing. You know, but Peter and John, after they told them that, and they continued to pray or to preach the gospel, you know, that wasn't good enough for those Sadducees there of the authority. They continued to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they even to the point that they took them and they started threatening them to throw them into prison. And they still continued to sanctify the Lord God. Put Him, set Him apart in their lives. Even to the point that I want my brothers and sisters to know about these things. You know, there's some setting apart of that when the Lord calls men and sets them apart, blesses them with a gift to go out and preach that gospel because of His love for His brothers and sisters, for those that He died for, so that they continue to have this gospel preached unto them. That's a great blessing of the Lord, the men being called to hear about these things. Even to the point that they did take Peter and John and beat them and put them into prison. You know, even there, because of their obedience to the Lord, the Lord sent that night. He says, this is in chapter 5, and I'm trying to hurry through this. I'm like Brother James. I'm not going to make it in 30 minutes, but I'm going to try to hurry. It says, when they had heard, they had entered into And when they had heard that they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught, but the high priest came and they were with him, and they called the council together and all the sin of the children of Israel and sent half the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, he found them not in the prison, and they returned and told, saying that the prison truly found we shut and all safety and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when he had opened, we found no man within. When they were getting ready to bring him out the next morning, they sent men to bring them out of the prison. What did they find? The prison's locked up. The doors are there. The keepers are there. But there's no apostles to be found. The Lord has been with them. The Lord had brought them out of that by His grace. And is going to show something even to those men, even I believe to those that they were preaching to, that God was pleased with what they were doing. They were going through some tribulations. But because of what they were doing in sanctifying Him and putting Him first, no matter what the world would do to them, the Lord was going to bless them and show those blessings. He's going to manifest it in a great way that they knew. This wasn't because of Peter and John. This was because of God Himself being with them. It says, now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest had heard these things, they doubted them whether that this would grow. They didn't want people to know about this. But you know, even that, they couldn't hide. There comes a man in. And I'm going to paraphrase this just for time's sake. He said, those men you're looking for that was in the prison, they're down at the temple, they're down at the synagogue, they're preaching Jesus Christ. They're doing exactly what you told them not to do. They're still sanctifying the Lord in their hearts. It says, then when they brought them and said, straightly, we commanded ye that ye should not teach this name, and behold, thou hast filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, intent to bring this man's blood upon us. And then again, Peter says that the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. We ought to obey God. That's. I'm just an old country boy from Calhoun County, Mississippi. That's pretty simple. I need to obey God. Amen. That's what we need to be doing. That's how we sanctify the Lord. No matter what a federal court says or defines marriage or how it says that this is okay to abort babies that are or hadn't been born, we need to obey God. That's who we need to be looking to. That's who Peter and James and John, you know, the apostles, we even heard about Paul and Silas there being just a few chapters over. They were cast in prison. They were cast in prison because they had called out a demon, a spirit out of a woman by the power of Jesus Christ, by the power of God. They were cast in prison. They were put in the inner prison, it says. Like being put in the very, the maximum security, if you will, put in bonds. And what were they doing at midnight? They were praying and singing to God. They were sanctifying Him. And you know what I love about that? That all the prisoners, all those around them heard them. Brothers and sisters, do all those around you hear you when you're sanctifying the Lord? I don't think you're in bonds in prison, but when you're going through those trials and tribulations, when you're going through those hard times with health or work or family or whatever, do the people see you praying? And yes, sometimes they can see you praying. It doesn't have to be you're down on your knees. The world wants to say you can't pray in public. And for you young ones that are in school, college, you know, there was a time in my life, and I know many of you, that public prayer was something you did every morning.
Yeah. Amen.
They say you can't do that now. You can't pray in school. They can't stop it.
Amen.
They might can stop you standing up in a public way, but brothers and sisters, you can close your eyes and you can say, Lord, help me through this day. Thank you for what you've blessed me with. And yes, when there's a hard test or when someone's bullying you or treating you in a way you don't like, you can say, Lord, just give me the patience. Give me what I need for this day. Help me through these things. It still works. It still works. Effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's the same God that Elijah was praying to, that we're praying to today. Sanctify. Set Him apart. And that ain't just be for the children. That's for us too, the older brothers and sisters when we're at work. He says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always. Give an answer to every man that asks you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. There's much that I could say about that, but I believe we've heard so many today talk about the reason of the hope, that earnest expectation already. I want to end it with one way. Why do you have hope in your heart? Why do you look forward and say there is coming a day? It's because of three words that was said on the cross. It is finished. I thank you for your kind attention.